This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
John Batchelor with my colleague, Joseph Sternberg. He's a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London. He's based in London. He writes political economics. And his most recent column reviewed the 20th century and the status of the family car. Always the status of the family car was the consideration. I remember flipping through Life magazines in the 50s and 60s, and there would be these shiny vehicles with big fins. And that was part of the status of America then. Now, the status has turned in another direction. Do we continue with cars of fossil fuel and energy, or do we move towards the EV? Is that where the culture war is going? Joe, I report to you, having read your column, I count how many Teslas I see on Sundays in the next door town where I attend church, Kent, Connecticut. Because of your column, or perhaps I was paying more attention, at the town square, I saw 7 Teslas on a Sunday morning. That's a personal best. Now, that's a lot of money for a runabout in Connecticut. Is the culture war moving in one direction or another, not only in America, but also in the UK? Is EV winning, Joe?
Well, it isn't in some interesting ways. And I think that, this is why it occurred to me that we need to think about this as part of the culture war instead of just a dry economic policy issue. I think that what has happened is, some people, particularly on the political left, have become more interested in climate issues, and that has come to take on a totemic significance for them. The car, and particularly the electric vehicle, has become one of the most visible things that you can do if you think that you want to do your part for climate. And I think that then has sort of led into a broader suite of much more invasive policies, whether it's mandates or very expensive tax credits, which essentially force middle-class taxpayers to subsidize these purchases. And so much of it seems to be more about a way of life or a virtue signal than it has anything to do with climate, because road transport is a relatively small proportion of global carbon emissions, and it's not clear that adopting electric vehicles actually does very much for the climate anyway. But it is becoming this totemic issue, and just because of the perceived values at stake, I think that it is becoming a front in the culture war.
You mentioned 2 items in particular, Germany and the Autobahn controversy of last year, and the United Kingdom, London, and a controversy over punishing fossil fuel cars in parts of London. Both of those have proved losers for the politicians involved. I don't see that coming to my way yet, but it's possible. I do note that there's a moving story about when we're mandated to go to EV. I think that story has moved in the United Kingdom. I don't think it's happened here yet. However, Joe, I do mention that culture wars have a way of overcoming rational decision-making. You've noticed that in the past. Otherwise, there's no way to explain why brand name running shoes dominate with so much expensive material. There's no way to justify that for a shoe. So it is possible they can win despite the fact that they're more expensive.
Yes, and I think that is the key point here, that this has become not about climate, because it's not at all obvious that adopting electric vehicles in the West is the thing that you would do if you really wanted to get carbon emissions under control. You would be, changing the way China and India generate electricity. I mean, that's where the emissions are these days. So, I mean, you kind of ask yourself, why is it that we are so focused on the EVs? And it just becomes a whole suite of cultural attitudes. I mean, sort of a suspicion of mobility or belief that people don't really need to be mobile, even though other people really, you know, prize that kind of independence and mobility that the internal combustion engine has given them, and the flexibility and the affordability of it. And so I think that this is really becoming more of a values issue than a climate issue, because it is about, you know, what people think is important, whether, you know, that's the climate or personal freedom or mobility, how much they are prepared to pay for it and how much they are prepared to try to force other people to pay for it.
Now we come back to the United Kingdom. Mr. Sunak making statements in these last days at a party conference, I believe, somewhere in the seashore, some climate-friendly place. Doing things that got stark headlines. One, HS2, something, Joe, that you've introduced me to, and suddenly it's on the front page everywhere. HS2 is no more, or some version of HS2 has gone away. That's high-speed rail. And also the moving story of when the mandate for EVs. Is this a risk for the Tories to go up against the virtue signaling of green?
Well, I actually think that this might be the only chance that the Tories have to win the election that's expected to happen next year, because, you know, the thread running through a lot of this has been to adopt this as a culture war theme. You know, when Prime Minister Rishi Sunak scaled back the mandate for electric vehicles, part of his argument was, we just can't ask the middle class to pay for this cultural priority of some people at the expense of others. And I think that a lot of the argument about the high-speed rail has been about, you know, are you going to be so committed to climate action that you're going to count on central planners to tell you where you should want to go along the high-speed rail line and how you should want to get there over rail, whereas the alternative is to spend that money fixing roads and potholes, you know, for the car technology that allows people to have greater flexibility. So I think that we're about to find out in the UK whether this framing of these issues actually does have resonance with voters.
And how has it been since Mr. Sunak's announcement? Are there protests about the HS2 cancellation, or is it just yesterday's news?
I mean, the funny thing about that is that there continues to be a lot of unrest and angst about it among the elite political and media class, but it isn't really obvious that ordinary voters care about it at all, which I think is also a cultural point about the disconnect that has developed about between the priorities of these two different categories of people.
Joseph Sternberg, he writes the political economics column for the Wall Street Journal editorial page. He's a member of the editorial board. He's based in London. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bell.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.